Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Chris Saunders is a radio host and sports broadcaster, and he is currently the media relations liaison and the voice for the Bristol Blues baseball team. Whether it's listening to the play-by-play or an interview he conducts with players or managers alike, his sports knowledge and enthusiasm is infectious. So we hope you enjoy our chat with Chris Saunders here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter, Chris Saunders.
How's it going?
It's going great. It's great to have you on the program. I've been wanting to have you on the program for a while. I'm so glad that we now have the opportunity to talk about it, especially as the Bristol Blues gets into the summer portion of the season.
No, it's a pleasure for you to be able to have me on. I really thank you for being able to take the time to be able to have me. You know, I know you have a busy schedule and a great show. So be able to be a part of it. It's a pleasure.
Very kind. You know, you are often on WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio, talking sports, especially with Art on the program.
The X Factor.
The X Factor. That's exactly right. I first got to know your work when we did this interview in November. It was a group interview of the sports anchors, the sports broadcasters, and what I found great about your work is your level of commitment to the art of talking sports, because there certainly is an art to that.
No, there really is, and I definitely can say that it's been a long and, I don't want to say treacherous, but it's been a very, you know, difficult the first couple of years when I started, because I was very raw. And I have to thank, and I've always said this from day one, Art Benedict, Gilligan, John Basso, the former sports director, they really helped mold me and kind of, you know, Art likes to say this all the time. He gave me the tools, and I used them correctly to build the house. But I will say I would never be where I am today without those three.
Now, did you play sports when you were in your formative years?
Yes, I did. I played baseball my whole life, all the way through college. I played soccer as well until I graduated from high school, and then I chose to only play one sport. I also played basketball and track. I was very active for about my whole life until now. I'm 25 years old now.
So for the sports that you played, are those the sports that you generally gravitate towards if you have the opportunity to discuss in a broadcasting situation?
I will broadcast any sport anytime. Basically, it could be soccer, football, baseball, basketball, anything. Hockey is the one that I have the most difficult in, but with the help of John Basso, I've been able to pick up the game a little bit more. But being a sports broadcaster, you can't say no to a game, no matter what sport it is. It could be watching, curling. You have to broadcast that.
Right, right. And that, and there's a way that you are able to describe the what's going on that, you know, works perfectly for radio as well, because you can visualize the situation, what's going on based on how you're describing it. So you must have an intimate knowledge of that sport and love that sport to be able to use shorthand when it's necessary, but also descriptive ways of letting people know what's going on.
And that's where you have to be able to study not just the team, the league, but just the sport itself, about knowing the rules, knowing the background of the players. That's why I, you know, being with the Bristol Blues and having the opportunity to be, you know, the voice for the Blues, I try to make sure I get to the field as early as possible so I can talk to the manager, talk to the pitching coach, the players, the GM. I'll talk to the hot dog guy. I don't really care. I want to know everything about the team up until that point, because on the road I'm not with them, so I don't have the capability of being able to talk to them on the road, but I watch their games on live stream if I have time and I'm able to. And that's where I kind of pick up little things either from other broadcasters or just the overall fact of just being able to pay attention to the team.
Now, the Bristol Blues, group are they with in terms of sports?
They are baseball.
Baseball. I meant league. That's the word I was looking for.
FCBL, the Futures Collegiate Baseball League. They actually, their first year was the Titans, second to last year.
Yeah.
And if people who are listening to this don't remember or don't know, the Torrington Titans used to be called the Twisters, and then they were gone for a couple years, and then they became the Torrington Titans. They disbanded after the 15th season, and it's definitely, I can see the difference. You know, when I first started broadcasting for WAPJ and being able to be a part of the Titans broadcast, I could see the kind of atmosphere and pleasure it brought to fans and just young kids itself. And then ever since they've disbanded, I feel like there's been a hole here in Torrington. And in Bristol, the one thing that really caught my eye was the first couple games of the season, the amount of people that came to the games. The kids are, they want autographs. It doesn't matter if you're the best player or if you're the 25th player on the roster. It doesn't matter. They want to be able to try to, you know, just become friends with you. And the players are so nice to the kids. It's definitely a joy to watch.
I agree with you. I think that Torrington is missing something in having the Torrington, you know, baseball team, the Torrington Titans, now be absent from that league, because I enjoyed going to the games as a fan, you know, and I know that my son also enjoyed going as a fan, and so I think that we do miss it. But with Bristol, you've got a beautiful Muzzy Field,
correct?
And there is some history behind it.
There's
some
a lot
amazing,
history.
amazing players have come through, have played there, correct?
There's been a lot. I can go on and on about the players that have gone there, but I think what really sets apart the stadium is, yes, the names are big, but just the fact of how much history. It's almost like, I understand that Yankee Stadium, the new Yankee Stadium, it's, I've heard from Yankee fans, like, you know, people in their 40s and late 50s, how old Yankee Stadium, when you stepped in, it felt like you were jumping in a time machine and you were going back in history. Mm-hmm. There's very few stadiums like that now. Fenway's another one where it's classic. They've been able to kind of change it up a bit, but really have kept most of it intact. And I think that's what Muzzy Field does. You step into the ballpark. You go into the gates, and then you're going into almost like a time machine.
That's right. Now, for you, you've played baseball. Mm. You've played many other sports as well, and also, but you are now a sports broadcaster. When did you first get your start in that sports broadcasting arena?
I started broadcasting in 2011, and it was actually quite funny because at first I had no idea that I wanted to be a broadcaster, because I was interning with the Titans at the time in their sports management department, and I saw that WAPJ was broadcasting the game. And I was a very shy kid for majority of my life, and I really never came out and broke out of my shell until probably the end of my freshman year of college. And I think that, you know, seeing Art at the time, I kind of introduced myself after the game, and I said, hey, you know, I didn't say hey, but I was like, hello, my name is Christopher Saunders, I'm going to be a sophomore in college, blah, 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 blah. And Art was like, why don't you come up to a game? Because he was kind of, I could tell he was intrigued, but he wanted to see how I would be on the air. And he gave me a half an inning, and after that, he said, why don't you stay for another half an inning? And it seemed like he felt like that I brought something to the broadcast, but then after I was done, he said, you're very, very raw. And then he said, I'm going to give you something tomorrow. I want you to sign it, take the classes. And I, at the time, I didn't know what he meant. And then I came to find out that it was classes here for WAPJ, made sure I went through everything I needed to so I could be qualified and then be on the air.
It's interesting, and it's also, I think, informative for some of our listeners to hear from you describe that when you started, you were somewhat shy. And that's certainly not an adjective that I would use to describe you now. And I think some of that comes from the fact that you bring a lot of professionalism to what you do. And when you are very good at what you do, that lends itself to some confidence. But it's good for people to know that when you started, you were not already the child prodigy, the genius, person who can come in off the street and hit it. You worked at it. You had the opportunity, and then from the opportunity, you worked at the craft.
Very so. I mean, you know, like I said, I was as raw as can be. You know, I've mentioned many times on my broadcasts or the broadcast with the Bristol Blues that there's a lot of kids on the team that have a lot of talent, but they're very, very raw and they're young. And, you know, it takes time. It takes a lot of work. And for myself in particular, I think the biggest thing was that I'm not the type of person that likes to be, you know, I don't want to be coddled. I don't want to be told like all these good things. I want to be told the truth. If I had a bad broadcast, tell me that. If I had a good broadcast, you don't have to tell me that. I want to hear the bad. The good's nice to hear, but if I don't hear the bad, how am I going to get better? You know, so I think, you know, people like Barry Soucy, Art Benedict, Gilgan, I can go down the line of people who were honest with me. And I feel like that helped me kind of, you know, get my butt into gear and kind of made me realize, because when I first came in, I didn't realize how hard it was to just be a broadcaster itself. I honestly thought that it was like, oh, cool, it's easy. I come in with them, you know, with some information, some stats, bada bing, bada boom, I'm good. No, it's completely different. There's a whole other landscape that goes to that, and I really credit them for that.
Well, guess what? We're already at our first break. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to a little bit of clip of Chris Saunders in action, and then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about doing the play-by-play. What is it like when you're actually at the live event, and what you do to bring life to that story? We'll be back in just a few moments with Chris Saunders here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Here in studio is Chris Saunders. Chris Saunders is the voice of the Bristol Blues. He's a sports broadcaster. He does play-by-plays, and we're going to get into that now. Chris, what is it like to actually do the play-by-play at a live event?
It's almost like painting a picture. I mean, I've learned both, you know, the radio and the TV part, that there's two different sides. On the TV part, there isn't so much of a description that you have to give of the field, of the court, depending on what sport you're doing. But it's a matter of kind of describing, you know, the players a little bit, maybe go into a background, maybe the crowd as well. But then you look at the radio, you really have to paint a picture because you're the eyes. You know, they are depending on you to try to be able to see what you're seeing. And I always like to say that my mentor as well, WATR and, you know, 88.7 WATR, mm-hmm. that they, you know, really kind of molded me to be able to allow me to be able to see, you know, what the, you know, the description is between what radio is and what TV is.
Now, have you had the opportunity to do some television work, or have you been focusing exclusively on the radio portion?
I've been on TV a little bit. I was on a public access show for quite some time at Wallingford. And I was able to kind of bring about my baseball knowledge because they wanted me to come in because one of the guys that does the show, I am able to go with him on that every now and again when I'm able to. So there definitely is a difference to that. And I think the biggest thing that I noticed too with TV is that it can pick up when you're nervous. If you're nervous or you're very questionable, it goes right to you and people can see right through that.
And less so with radio, just because people can't see the facial expressions, that
Correct.
Sort of thing?
Correct.
Now, with the play-by-plays of live events, obviously you had an inning, or you started with mm-hmm. a half an inning or an inning at with WAPJ for the Titans at that time.
Correct.
What was the first non-Titans event or a memorable one that was early in your career where they either reached out to you or you searched for an opportunity to then do the play-by-play or broadcasting of a sporting event?
Now, is this with WAPJ or in general?
Any.
Just in general?
Just in general, somewhere in your career. In fact, preferably perhaps not WAPJ unless there were a lot of experiences there.
I would probably have to say my first, because WAPJ is a community radio station. We do not get paid. We're all volunteers here. We all spend a lot of time, and people who are here really dedicate a lot of time, and I think, you know, yourself, R. Benedict, and others, you know, deserve a lot of credit for kind of building this, and Mr. Ramsey as well with WAPJ. But to answer your question, I think the one thing that stood out to me was my first actual gig was with DET Sports Media, and they cover the local high school basketball in the Waterbury area. So they cover Crosby, Wilby, Kennedy, Career Academy is a new school as well. And I'm not going to lie to you, the first time I had to do play-by-play with them, it was Career versus, it's escaping me the other team, but I know it was Career, Torrington. Actually, it was Torrington. It's quite funny that I mentioned that. And I was as nervous as can be because I was by myself. I always had that safety blanket of having either Patrick or John or Art, whoever. I always had somebody I can kind of rely on. But I showed up and I was by myself. So I had to kind of really look at myself and say, hey, this is, you know, there's going to be times where you're going to be alone. So put your big boy pants on and you're going to get through this.
And how was the result?
Oh, it was terrible. I did so bad. I mean, other people who have listened to it in the past said it was good. Mm-hmm. I thought, and I hold myself to a high standard, so if I don't think, I mean, some people might say that it's good, but if I don't think it's great, then I don't think it was good enough. And I thought I did terrible. And I actually, it's funny that you mention it, right when the season ended with DET, and I was actually listening to my first game I did with them, and I kind of compared my last game from this year and then the one from when I first started. And it was completely different. The confidence in my voice is better. My tones, how I kind of, if something big happens, I don't sound very monotone. I know how to project my voice a little bit better. It's not where I want to be yet. I think there's more in the tank that I can go where I'm not screaming, but I'm at least at the level where people can kind of feel that emotion that's coming out.
That's fantastic. So that shows that there is a trajectory in a positive trajectory. So
correct.
You, as you had more and more experience, the greater confidence that you had, mm-hmm. The greater modulation that you had in your voice in terms of making sure that you communicated effectively everything that you wanted to communicate. That's fantastic. That's what I would consider to be a success story. So even if you look at that very first one and from your standards today, you say, well, it was terrible. Chances are, I'm sure it was not. I'm sure it was not terrible to anyone that was listening, but to your standards, which you now set so high, mm-hmm. that's what I think you're saying it as that. What would you say would be one of your best experiences then, as dealing with a live event? What was the one most exciting or integral part of your career?
And I'm going to go back to DET again, and sure. It's funny because I actually. At the time, I still record myself either if I'm on the X Factor or if I'm with the Blues. I have a particular spot that I put my phone so I could record myself so I can listen. I know I can listen on the air or if I'm on YouTube, which is what the Bristol Blues are on. But I like to be able to kind of see how I am in front of a camera a little bit. But I would say, though, that one of the biggest probably bright spots in my career was a game that it was for DET at the time. It was Kennedy versus Wilby. And that is, if you don't know the greater Waterbury area when it comes to basketball, those are like Super Bowl events. A lot of people come. There's a lot of emotion because these kids know each other from playing AAU, mm-hmm. coming through their, you know, when they're little until they get to high school. So there's a lot of bragging rights that go on.
Right.
And Kennedy Wilby was back and forth, left and right. And Kennedy at the time, this was a couple years, actually, I think it was 2 years ago, they had a very dominant team. They had LaShawn Smith, Sands, Stenson, Spears, who now is at Crosby. They had a deep team, and they actually went far in the state tournament. But it was a last-second opportunity for Kennedy. They were down by one, and I felt like, because you know there's certain parts where you just feel like something might happen.
Sure.
I said, you know what, I have to record this because I feel like either something is going to happen, and it's going to be huge. And just so happened, it did. Spears did a finger roll at about where the free throw line is, and I had recorded it beforehand, so I had like the prep work that went into that. He made it, and I just went nuts. And I think that's probably one of the biggest events that I've called thus far.
That's exciting. That just even hearing that demonstrates, mm-hmm. first of all, a lot of knowledge, but also a lot of enthusiasm, just as I said at the very beginning. Your ability to talk about these the names of very important players. And how long ago was that? Just so I
2 years ago.
So 2 years ago, and you're still able to pull out those names and mm-hmm. Descriptive analysis of it, mm-hmm. and then show your enthusiasm. So that is a clear demonstration of what it was that we're talking about and why people enjoy sports. I mean, do you think that's one of the reasons why people enjoy sports radio?
I think they do. It's the problem nowadays is because the way technology is, a lot of people want things now. They don't have patience to wait a couple of seconds. They want everything on TV, live. You know, instant replay is the biggest thing in sports. Some people like it, some people don't. But I do feel that I think sports radio is still live and well, as long as you have the dedicated fans or just people in general who are willing to kind of allow the broadcaster to paint them that portray of what it's like since you're not there. And I think that's what the job of a radio broadcaster is to do that.
Did you listen to sports radio when you were growing up or when you were playing it? Or mm-hmm. were there any particular figures of sports talk that you looked up to, whether it's on radio or TV?
I did. I'm a big fan of the Mets broadcast on TV when it comes to Ron Darling, Keith Hernandez, Gary Cohen, And it's funny because I'm a diehard Yankee fan, and I'm not a big fan of the Yankees broadcast unless they have Al Leiter on, because or David Cohn, because the way they describe the game and they can depict it, it's not just information that I could use, but it's almost like I can close my eyes and I already know what they're talking about. Or at least, I shouldn't say I know what they're talking about, but I can see when they're talking and descriptive about a certain pitching style or emotion or why the pitcher is not being able to command his fastball and he threw three straight pitches to the arm side. Arm side is either the opposite hand of, or no, the same hand of which the pitcher is throwing, either outside or in, however you look at it. But on the radio, and people might not like this because I've heard people are not big fans of these guys, but Russo, Chris Russo, and Mike Francesa, I love them ever since I was a little kid, and Russo is my favorite just because he doesn't give a rat's you-know-what about what people think. He speaks his mind, mm-hmm. and he doesn't care, and that's what I like about him.
And in part, that's also comes from that confidence to be able to know what you're talking about in that particular, even if somebody has differing opinions than the individual, but to be able to express it and to be able to elicit that type of response, whether that response is positive or negative, that's a sign of a good broadcaster.
Oh, and he has a lot of confidence. There's times where, I mean, someone can make fun of him on Twitter because he has a segment from 12 to 1 on MLB Network. It's called High Heat. And he'll do at the end, Man Bites Dog, where people can come, you know, tweet at Russo, Chris Russo, and kind of go back at him a little bit over something that he said or did or however. And they can make fun of him. And he just has a way of just having those snap comebacks. And I wish I had that because I don't have that canny ability to be able to just, if someone made fun of me for either my voice or because I'm Italian, so I'm hairy, I don't have that ability to kind of get back at them. So I'm just like, oh, haha, okay, whatever. But he has a way of just getting back you like a dog. That's why he's called the Mad Dog.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're already at our second break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Bristol Blues, and we're going to talk about what's happening with this particular season and talk about the future of sports broadcasting. Where do you see it going in the future? And we'll talk about a number of different aspects of radio and sports broadcasting here with Chris Saunders on Nutmeg Chat. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Here in studio is Chris Saunders. Chris Saunders is the voice of the Bristol Blues. Let's talk about that now. Talk to me about the Bristol Blues as a sports team in 2018.
They're having a pretty good season thus far. They're in second place behind the Martha's Vineyard Sharks. They're in first. And it's funny that you mentioned it, that the Bristol Blues actually won a slugfest 17-3 against the Nashua Silver Knights last night. And it was a very ugly game, 23 walks combined. That's base on balls between both teams together. And it's definitely not a game that you want to like if you're a Blues fan for a pitching side. But for a hitting perspective, I can tell you from the beginning of the season, looking at the lineup until now, it's 10 times better because of the amount of length that they have where they, you know, the meat of the order, the 3-4-5 in Major League Baseball typically is your power guys. You want guys who can put the ball in play and go into the gaps. And no offense to the guys who were there, they really didn't have that. But now they have a couple key players, Justin Henry Molloy. He's a third baseman. He bats typically 3 or 4. He's actually going to Vanderbilt this fall, and I interviewed him a couple weeks ago. And let me tell you, he's a class act first. I don't want to say first ballot Hall of Famer, but he's a first ballot kind of kid. His parents raised him right. You know, when he came up to me, he said, sir, which I'm not used to because I'm 25 and there's an 18-year-old kid saying sir to me. So that kind of was like, oh, wow. But I give his parents a lot of credit for that. There's also Patrick Winkle, who was drafted by the Yankees in the 32nd round. He bats typically fifth. He hit a double yesterday that I thought was going out. He has light tower power. And there's also Matthew Bonficini, who, if people are listening or from the Torrington area, he is from Torrington, but he went to Holy Cross. He's at UConn, just finished his freshman year. Left-handed hitter, has a pristine eye at the plate. And watching those guys bat 3-4-5, or if you mix it up depending on who's pitching, this Blues team has a lot of talent in the lineup.
Do you foresee them going further into the season after the regular season play?
I think they do. There's because of the because of the Titans being disbanded, and actually the Seacoast Mavericks are not there anymore, as well as the Dirt Dogs. They're not there anymore as well. So because of those three teams gone, now they only have seven, and six out of the seven make the tournament. And unless the Bristol Blues come about with injuries or just have bad play, which can happen because this is the summer league and there are a lot of games. There's over 57 games played, so you're going to have ups and downs. Mm-hmm. But as long as they can stay afloat, they're going to get into the playoff, and then that's where the whole seeding of where they want to be, either first, second, which talking to the manager, Ronnie Palmer, he wants to be at least in that 1-3 range because then they're going to get a home game.
Okay, that makes sense. And when is the regular season over and the playoffs begin? Do you have that off the top of your head?
The regular season ends, if I recall, it's the first week of August, and then they have the playoffs start right after. I think within, actually, no, it ends Sunday, and then they have to start that Monday or Tuesday. So that would be, I think, the 8th, but don't quote me. It's the first week of August. I know that for a fact, because you got to remember, these kids have to go back to school. Some mm-hmm. actually leave before the playoffs because they just want to be able to spend some time at home, because a lot of times the season starts within 2 weeks of the college season either ending during the regular season. And some of these kids have played in the regional, the super regional, or even played in Omaha. So by the time they get home, they have like 2-3 days. Sometimes they don't even go home. They go right from their summer team to going back to college, and their parents don't even have time to see them at home. So okay. I could see why they want to be able to go and spend time with the family.
And as we transition from the Futures Collegiate Baseball League, let's talk about the future of sports broadcasting. Where mm-hmm. do you see that? Where do you see that going in the future, in the era of internet, in the era of YouTube, as we've talked about before?
I think it's going to expand, and it's going to be as big as can be. I'm intrigued to see how it's going to turn out in about maybe 10 to 15 years, because every year something has grown where it's either the media side or even now. I remember 5 years ago, I never thought that there would be games live broadcasted on YouTube, and now we're seeing that, and even on Twitter, where you can watch a game on Twitter now.
Right.
And everything's a copycat. Facebook copied Instagram. Instagram copied Facebook. Twitter copies everybody. I mean, everybody wants to be above their competitors, so they're going to try to take a little piece of that and then go about it. I mean, prime example, Instagram now has a My Story. They got that through Snapchat. Snapchat has a My Story. So it's definitely going to evolve. My only concern is that I feel like we're going to lose a little bit of that flair, because we're going to have, and this is just my opinion, that the broadcasters are going to be caring more about the media side rather than caring about the actual game itself, because they want to get that prime call, or they want to make sure they look good in front of the social media side or however it is. So that's my only concern.
Well, and where do you think do you think that there's going to be more opportunities for people who are interested in sports broadcasting because there's so many different venues that they get that work out there?
Well, the job has expanded now beyond broadcasting. You have to be good with Audacity, Final Cut Pro, Premiere. There's so many different aspects. A camera, I mean, to just be a broadcaster is not good enough anymore. You have to be able to be, like, I'm grateful enough to be alongside the media relations part so I can get that experience. But just filling out job applications for ESPN or Fox Sports, you know, I've seen things where a broadcaster has to be able to do X, Y, and Z, and it doesn't even involve broadcasting. So you have to be multi-talented, because as you know, ESPN cut over 1,000 people, even if they were lower jobs, mm-hmm. they're still jobs, and that was over a 10-month span.
Well, that dedication shows. Chris Saunders, if people want to kind of contact you and talk to you about the different opinions that you may have shared, or mm-hmm. they may want to share that they've enjoyed listening to your play-by-plays, is there a method that people reach out to you, like Twitter, for instance? Or
They can reach out to me on Facebook. My name is Christopher Saunders. Instagram and Twitter is _smoke_Saunders. Or they can email me at cnsaunders6@gmail.com. The N is my middle name, Nicholas. That's why it's there. So it doesn't matter who you are. Feel free to message me. I'm always going to answer somebody back, because that's, you know, I was brought up to always show respect to people, no matter if they're my, you know, if they're my elders or just in general. The treat people the way you want to be treated. So I always, even if the person is a you-know-what to me, still treat them well, because you just never know if somebody is, you know, around the corner or is next to you and sees that, and maybe it kind of be able to bode well for you in the future.
Absolutely. Well, Chris Saunders, thank you for being here and being a guest on Nutmeg Chatter.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me again. It means a lot.
Now, Mic Chatter is a production of WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio. Some of the music has been provided by the Jingle Punks, courtesy of YouTube Royalty Free Music, so we thank them for that. We hope you enjoyed the chat.